ओम
हरिः
ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदा शिवसमारंभाम् व्यासशंकरमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपरिक्रमा विद्विषावहैः ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। विश्वं दर्पण दृश्यमान नगरी तुल्यं निजान्तर्गतं पश्यन्नात्मनि मायया बहिरिवोद्भूतं यथा निद्रया यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेवाद्वयम् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये। बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्कुरो जगदिदम् प्राङ् निर्विकल्पम् पुनः मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलना वैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतम् मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगी वयस्वेच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये। We have completed these two verses. See, why I decided to do Dakshinamurti Stotram again after a long time? Because Dakshinamurti, Shankaracharya himself says the Dakshinamurti Stotram is a condensed essence of the entire Prasthanatrayam. By studying Bhagavad Gita, by studying all the Upanishads, by studying all the commentaries on Upanishads, by analyzing, by adding the all Brahma Sutrani, finally, what is the essential essence of the teaching you have to derive? That teaching is given in a condensed form, in a nutshell, in this Dakshinamurti Stotram. He himself says, even if a person does not have time for anything else, a person, see, repeatedly dwelling upon the Dakshinamurti Stotram, listening to it, clarifying the doubts in this teaching, and dwelling upon this teaching, one can enjoy the benefit of the jnana that one can attain by studying the entire Prasthanatraya. The Shankaracharya himself is, you're going to see, say in the last verse, in Palashruti, when he mentions, he's going to mention this. That is why I decided to do this Dakshinamurti Stotram. So that we will focus on this teaching. So here, in this first verse, in the opening verse, as I said, the Tvampada Lakshyartha is discussed. And in the second verse, Tatpada Lakshyartha is discussed. So what is Tvampada Lakshyartha? What is the implied meaning of the word Tvam? So you remove the anatma aspects, body, mind, sense complex. Then, the consciousness principle, consciousness, okay, cognitively excluded from the anatma, the pure consciousness is the content of the I, the swarupam of the essential nature of every individual. And similarly, tatpada lakshyartha, we saw the second verse, the implied meaning of the word tat. Even though the word tat as a third person singular pronoun means any object, but here tat stands for the entire objective universe, which is including one's own body, mind, sense complex, which you say. So Paramatma Swarupam, the essential nature of the individual, the total macrocosmic being, is implied by the term Tat, Paramatma, Paramatma. What is that? What is it, Paramatma? What is Bhagavan? What is the essential nature? What is the truth of the whole? That is what is implied by Tat. We say, in second verse we saw how Paramatma is presented as the intelligent and material causes of the universe. If Paramatma is the intelligent and material causes of the universe, Paramatma is very much there as the existence of the entire universe. Because we know this fact, cause obtains in the form of existence of everything, existence of its effect. Cause alone obtains in the form of existence of an effect. Like that, here, Paramatma obtains in the form of the existence of the entire universe. Therefore, Paramatma alone is there, always available for experience, always is shining in the form of existence of any object. You saw that. And that Paramatma, what is that? Paramatma Swarupam is a pure existence. Because if you cognitively remove, delete Nama Rupa, the pure existence is Paramatma. And that now we understood. So Paramatma Swarupam is existence, pure existence. Jivatma Swarupam is pure consciousness. Are they two? Are they one and the same? That is going to be discussed in the third verse. The third verse discusses the essential oneness of the reality. This pure consciousness alone is pure existence. Pure consciousness is pure existence. And pure consciousness is very much there. Pure consciousness is very much there as the existence of everything. Which means, how to understand that? That oneness, they are not two. A consciousness alone is in the form of existence. That which is in the form of existence of the entire cosmos is nothing but pure consciousness. We can say in three ways. Pure consciousness is in the form of existence of the knower. Pure consciousness is in the form of existence of the known object. Pure consciousness is in the form of existence of the knowledge. The knower is consciousness. Known is consciousness. The knowledge is consciousness. Subject of knowledge, object of knowledge, instrument of knowledge. Similarly, subject of action, object of action, instrument of action. Subject of perception, object of perception, instrument of perception. All three are essentially one and the only truth, consciousness. There cannot be knower or doer without the consciousness. There cannot be knowledge or doing, knowing or doing possible without the consciousness. There cannot be the known or the done without the consciousness. Which means consciousness is absolutely free from triputi bhedaha. It is free from all this threefold division, knower, known, knowledge division. Absolutely free from these three divisions. At the same time, the division is not possible. There cannot be knower, known, knowledge, doer, doing, done without the blessing of consciousness. Which means it is this absolute reality obtaining in the form of the innermost self of every being, essential nature of every individual, in terms of consciousness alone lends existence to the knower, the known, and the knowledge. That is why we have to understand here, when I say the water is in the form of existence of devotion, gold is in the form of existence of the ornament, wood is in the form of existence of the furniture. So also here, consciousness is in the form of existence of the entire cosmos. So gold, water, etc. are relative existence of those relative things. But absolute existence, the only vastu which alone is in the form of existence of the knower, the known and the knowledge. You reduce the whole into three as knower, no knowledge. And we say consciousness is the absolute existence. Therefore, we say existence and consciousness are one and the same. And we saw in the previous second verse that consciousness being manifest as the existence of all the objective universe is always experienced, is always available for experience. The never a time you are not experiencing Paramatma. How are we experiencing Paramatma? We are always in and through experiencing Paramatma in every experience. When you experience space, you are experiencing Paramatma. When you are experiencing time, you are experiencing Paramatma. When you are experiencing water, when you are experiencing earth, you are experiencing any elemental, a tree, a living thing, and a non-living thing, a man or woman, an action, an experience, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, pain, pleasure, whether whatever you experience, a subtle object or a gross object, whatever you experience in every object which is mithya, in that mithya object, lending existence of mithya object, what is it obtains is nothing but Paramatma. Okay, Paramatma means the absolute reality is in the form of existence. Therefore, if you remove the mithya nama rupa, what is this pure existence? We're experiencing existence along with the nama rupa as space is, means space existence is. But pure existence we can never experience. Why? Existence minus Amarupa is pure consciousness. Okay, the pure consciousness cannot be experienced because it is the very swarupam of the experiencer you. What is obtaining as the very truth of the subject of experience can never become an object of experience. Therefore, and this existence is nothing but consciousness, which is you. That essential oneness is revealed by the, is the implied meaning of the verb asi, or A-R-E, you are that Paramatma. It is revealed by the most effective Mahavakyam, Tattvamasi. It is what is discussed in this third verse. As I said before, third verse reveals the essential oneness of the reality. What was discussed in the first verse and second verse are going to be discussed as one and the same in the third verse. Yasyeva spuranam sadatmakam yasyeva spuranam sadatmakam Asat kalpartagam bhasate. Asat kalpartagam bhasate. Sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa. Yo bodhayatyashritan. Sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa. Yo bodhayatyashritan sakshat tattvamasiti vedavachasa yo bodhayatyashritan. yat sakshat karanad bhavena, yat sakshat karanad bhavena, punaravrittir bhavambho nidhau, yat sakshat karanad bhavena, punaravrittir bhavambho nidhau, yat sakshat karanad bhavena, punaravrittir bhavambho nidhau, tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam, tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam, shri dakshina murtaye. Yasyeva spuranam, yasyeva spuranam, sadatmakamasat kalpartagam bhasate, sadatmakam asat kalpartagam bhasate, sakshat, sakshat, tattvamasiti vedavachasa, sakshat, tattvamasiti vedavachasa, yo bodhayatyashritan, yo bodhayatyashritan, yat sakshat karanad bhavena, yat sakshat karanad bhavena, punaravrittir bhavambho nidhau, punaravrittir bhavambho nidhau, tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam, shri dakshina murtaye, tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam, shri dakshina murtaye. Now it is said here, Paramatma Swarupam is a pure existence. Jivatma Swarupam is pure consciousness. And Paramatma is the cause of the universe. The Paramatma is in the form of existence of what everything in this universe. How is it said here? Bhasate. Bhasate means what? Shines. Bhasate shines. You all know the meaning of the verb now. I don't need to tell you. Bhasate shines. Shines is an intransitive verb. So shines means what? Shines means it is manifest. Manifest means what? It is available for experience. It is available for experience means what? It is experienced. What is experienced? What is experienced? Spuranam. Spuranam is experienced. The word spuranam, if you take it as spurtihi, it means consciousness. Or you can take it as manifestation. Okay. Now, bhasate. What is available here? Paramatma swarup. Paramatma is available for experience. Who is bhasate? Who is shining? Who shines here? Paramatma shines. Paramatma is, shines means Paramatma is available for experience. Experienced. In what form? Sadatmakam. Atmakam means in the form. In the form of Sat. Sat Atmakam Sadatmakam. Paramatma is available for experience in the form of existence. Sat Atmakam Sadatmakam. Is it clear? Sandhi, make a note. Sat Atmakam Sadatmakam. Sadatmakam Bhasate. Paramatma is shining in the form of existence. Sadatmakam Bhasate. existence of what? Paramatma is shining in the form of existence of what? Existence. Where is his existence? Paramatma shines in the form of existence, obtaining. Paramatma shines, obtaining in the form of existence of every object. Where is the object mentioned here? Asat kalpartha. That gum. Asat kalpartha gum. The ka must be changed into ga. Okay. Asat kalpartha gum. Asat kalpartha means, asat means non-existent. Kalpa means similar or as good as. Asat kalpa means as good as non-existent. What is as good as non-existent? Artha. Artha means object. Asat kalpartha means an object which is as good as non-existent. So asat kalpartha, asat kalpa means mithya, artha means object. So asat kalpartha means a mithya object which is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Asat kalpartha means a mithya object which is as good as non-existent. Why mithya object? There's no mithya subject. Okay. Object means mithya. Why it is mithya? No object has independent existence of its own. Why? Any object, anything which has the status of being an object is of the nature of inertness. Therefore, it does not have independent existence. An object has to become the known in order to have the status of being an object. To become the known, it is dependent on the existence of knower. Therefore, any object is mithya. And the mithya alone is said to be asat kalpa. Asat kalpa, if you take separately, asat non-existent, kalpa as good as. Artha an object. An object which is mithya, which is as good as non-existent, is asatkalpa. And the ghast implies obtaining. Paramatma, who shines, obtaining in the form of existence of every mithya object which is as good as non-existent. So we can say simply object. Paramatma is, Paramatma shines in the form of existence of every object. Okay. Arth kalpartagam, asat kalpartagam vasate. If you ask me, in what form does water obtain in the ocean? With reference to ocean, water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. With reference to ornament, gold obtains in the form of existence of the ornament. With reference to furniture, wood obtains in the form of existence of the furniture. Similarly, Paramatma obtains in the form of existence of every object here. Is it clear? That obtaining is meant by that ga. Asat kalpartagam bhasate. Paramatma is ever shining. Which means, when you are experiencing the wave, you are experiencing the water. Invariably, you are experiencing the water. When you're experiencing the furniture, you're experiencing simultaneously the wood. In fact, experience of the wood alone is in the form of experience of the furniture. Similarly, when you're experiencing any opaque object, experience of every opaque object is experience of the light. It is, there's no such a thing called experience of the opaque thing without the light. Independently, opaque thing can never be experienced. Experience of the opaque thing presupposes the experience of the light. Similarly, experience of any object indicated, obtaining in any form, indicated by any word, serving any purpose, is experienced, means along with the object, what is experienced is Paramatma. So in what form? Existence. When you say space is, that space is the object, is stands for isness, which is existence. When you say table is, table enjoys existence. When you say ocean is, ocean enjoys existence. When you say man is, man enjoys existence. When you say tree is, tree enjoys existence. I can go on giving a list of all the different objects. Just three examples are enough. In all the objects are different objects, different forms, different names, different textures, different purposes. But in all these variable objects, what is invariably present is the existence. Just as the illumined opaque things are different, but the illuminated light is one and the same. Similarly, Paramatma is in the form of existence of every object. It means when I see your faces from here, I see every face is soaked in light. You have to, very subtle teaching, okay? You have to be focused. Every face I see from here, even though you're sitting in a dark room also, still your face is soaked in light. Even though, okay? Doesn't matter how bright the room is. I can see every one of your face is soaked in light. In and through, pervaded by light. Why? The whole face, your whole body is opaque. Imagine if there's no light. In fact, you all see my face also in light, completely in and through, pervaded by light. If there's no light, you cannot see my face. This opaque body of every one of us shining where? In the presence of the light. Okay, all our faces are bathed in light, soaked in light, in and through, pervaded by light. At the same time, you understand light is not part of this physical opaque body, not product, not the property of the opaque body. The light is distinct, different. At the same time, light is not limited by this body. Light is all pervasive. Similarly here, existence also, you can say, now you have to shift that light thing to like existence. Every object, doesn't matter in which form does it obtain, every object is in and through soaked in existence. Every object is soaked in existence. You cannot imagine an object without existence. Every object is soaked in existence. Okay. Now, that existence associated with the Namarupa is shining, is available for experience. There's never a time existence is not available for experience. Therefore, he says, Yasya eva spuranam, Yasya means Paramatmanaha. Yasya Paramatmanaha spuranam. The manifestation of Paramatma shines, obtaining in the form of existence of the opaque object. Which means, now you can take all the objects together as one whole cosmos. So existence enjoyed by the universe. Universe plus existence is what? Universe is name, form, name and function. universe is equal to nothing but form, name and function. Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. And plus existence. Universe is means universe plus existence. In deep sleep state, what happens? You cannot say universe is. Then where is, and is there existence or not? Existence is, without the name, form and function, exist universe. When you remove the intellectually, cognitively, remove the form, name and function plus from existence, is said to be what is this? Pure existence. Okay? So it is said here, Paramatma's Paramatma is manifestation of Paramatma shines in the form of existence of the Mithya object. Okay, what is that Paramatma? What is that existence? What is that which is obtaining in the form of existence of the object? What is that Paramatma? What is that existence? This is our second line. Shankaracharya says, the teacher teaches bodhayati. No? Bodhayati. Yaha bodhayati means acharyaha bodhayati. The teacher teaches. Okay. How does the teacher teach? He teaches, he shows that Paramatma. Teaches means he reveals that Paramatma. How does he reveal? Sakshat tattvamasi iti veda vachasa. The teacher teaches Sakshat tattvamasi iti veda vachasa bodhayati. Acharyaha katham bodhayati paramatmanam. How does the teacher teach reality? How does the teacher reveal the reality to you? How does the guru show Bhagavan to you? Not as an object. He says, in every object you are experiencing Paramatma in the form of existence, and that Paramatma who is obtaining in the form of existence of the universe is you. You are that Paramatma. Tat stands for Paramatma. Tat Brahma, that reality. Tat Paramatma, that existence of the universe. That reality, existence of the universe is you, tat tvam asi. Tvam tat asi, you are that Paramatma. Okay, teacher bodhayati, teacher teaches. Tat tvam asi iti bodhayati, the teacher reveals that Paramatma obtaining as yourself. It means, what are you? You are consciousness. You must be with me. You are consciousness. You, the consciousness, are the existence of the universe. You, the consciousness, are the existence of the universe means, what does the teacher do? The tvam does not mean, the tvam negates the dress you are wearing. The teacher says tvam, that tvam is like an arrow coming to you straight, and it negates the, no, it pierces through what? The word tvam, as though piercing through you, how it remove, it doesn't, it negates the dress, it negates the annamaya, it negates the pranamaya, it negates the manomaya, it negates the vijnanamaya, it negates the anandamaya, it goes and sits straight in pure anandaha, the consciousness, consciousness, existence, fullness. Okay, pure consciousness, which means tvam is an implied meaning of the word tvam. We are going to see in Taittiriya Upanishad, annamaya atmanam upasankramya, transcending the annamaya atma, transcending the manomaya atma, crossing over that tvam, that word tvam crosses over physical body, manomaya, Pranamaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, then it cannot go beyond. It stops where? Pure consciousness, which is the content of I. The content of wave is water. Similarly, content of I. In Pooja Swamiji's words, if you take a wave and squeeze the wave cognitively, what will come out is water. You take I, the first person singular pronoun I, and squeeze it, what comes out of I is consciousness. You can't squeeze it. I like his expression. Okay, so pure consciousness is the essential nature of every individual, which is the truth of I, content of I. Therefore, the pure consciousness, you are pure consciousness, essentially, which means you must have the guts to shift the I sense from. You must be strong enough, you must have the guts to be able to shift the I sense from the gross physical body, grossest body, to the subtlest abstract consciousness. Do you have the strength? But you want something strong to hold on to. You feel so helpless. No, Shastram says you can't afford to be holding on to this gross, because it's difficult. You know, you are completely made supportless, because you are the very support. You are made supportless means, really speaking, you have no support. You are the very support. You are supportless. Why you are supportless? Because you are the very support. You, the consciousness, are the very support. Therefore, support does not have a support. Unsupported support of all the supported universe. That's why in the very opening verse it was said, Atma, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, is like the mirror, untainted mirror, in which the whole world enjoys its existence like the reflected city. Okay, therefore you are pure consciousness. Tvam, tattvam asi means that real, absolute reality, obtaining in the form of existence of this entire universe, is you, the consciousness. Tat tvam asi. Okay. Iti acharyaha bodhayati. It's a very important lesson. Make a note. Sakshat bodhayati. The word sakshat is very important word. In the first words also, I said sakshat kurute. The verb sakshat kurute came. The teacher sakshat bodhayati comes here. The third line also sakshat karanat comes. Sakshat karanam, sakshat karoti, sakshat means, very important word to note. Why? Because when the teacher tells you, through unfolding the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, when the teacher teaches Vedic statement, Veda Vachasa Bodhayati, teacher does not come and give his own story. No, the teacher is a Pramanam here. The teacher is a live word of the Shastra. The teacher who represents the Pramanam, he using through the Vedic statement of Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, great statement, he teaches the essential oneness of the Paramatma and the Jivatma. You are the existence. You, the consciousness, or existence means, when the teacher tells, the student does not need to wait for the experience of the Atma. The teacher teaches, afterwards I have to again do something. No, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to wait for a good special day to experience. I'm going to repeat it again later on other verses. Please understand, Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge, is not an event happening in time and in a given place. Second thing, knowledge of any object is a process of knowing, involves a process of knowing. Knowledge of an object involves a process of knowing, whereas self-knowledge does not involve a process of knowing. Is it clear? Process of knowing is an effect, event. It involves effort. It involves a will. You must use your will. It involves your effort, and you must make effort to know an object, anything other than yourself. To know the existence of another object, you must make an effort, which means the object must shine in the presence of the sunlight, or object must be there, sound, object in the form of sound or form or color or taste or touch, object must be there. Then the sense organ must be focused on that object, must be placed on that object. Then mind must back up that sense organ, and only then knowledge is possible. So knowledge of an object is an event involving a process of knowing, involving an effort, whereas Atmajnanam does not involve an effort, is not a process of knowing. Why? Because Atma is ever experienced. There's never a time Atma had experienced. Ever experienced, but not as an object. As is Swarupam, the I, the knower. Therefore, self here, when the teacher teaches, the student does not experience the Atma. The student does not realize the Atma. Then what does the student say? What does the student do? When the teacher tells, you are, he has to chasten Chattvattamas, because direct teaching, you are that Paramatma. You, the consciousness, you, the Chit, are Sat of the universe. The teacher tells, student claims the consciousness being the existence of the universe as the self. Student has to claim the consciousness existence as the self in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi. Is it clear? Is claiming the consciousness existence implied by the term Atma or Brahma as I am, as I, the consciousness, am the existence of the universe. This claiming Aham Brahma Asmi is implied by the expression Sakshat, Sakshat Karanam. Claiming, the student does not experience, does not experience the Atma, does not realize the Atma. He claims the consciousness existence as the Atma. Okay, claiming the Atma, claiming the consciousness existence, the reality as the self, as the content of I, is what Sakshat Karanam. It is called Aparoksha Jnanam, knowledge of the immediate self. That therefore, it is not Pratyaksha Jnanam, it is not Paroksha Jnanam. The word Sakshat should not be mistaken for Pratyaksha Jnanam. It is neither direct experience nor indirect experience of the self. Is it clear? Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge, is neither direct experience nor the indirect experience. It is when the teacher teaches unfolding the Vedic statement Tattvamasi, the student who understands the teaching claims the consciousness as existence as the self, I am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am the existence of the universe. Is it clear? Aham Brahma Asmi, he should claim. That is called Sakshatkaraha. Therefore, what is Pratyaksha Jnanam? What is Paroksha Jnanam? What is Aparoksha Jnanam? The student claiming is Aparoksha Jnanam, immediate knowledge. Knowledge of the immediate self. Pratyaksha Jnanam is of the object. Direct knowledge also is of an object. Indirect knowledge is also of an object. Direct experience or indirect experience is always of an object. How? If I explain to you, now sitting here, I discuss, talk about you, how Bahamas is. The place where I'm living now is Paradise Island. How this island is, how the ships are coming. I happen to see sharks nowadays. Sharks are the fish. No, I explain to you what all here. You have indirect knowledge of this place. Okay, when I explain to you, it's indirect knowledge. Paroksha Jnanam. So when I bring you all here to show, after Papa, you know, this Corona business is over, if you happen to come and see here, your direct experience, that is what? Pratyaksha Jnanam. So Pratyaksha Jnanam, direct experience is also of an object. Indirect experience is also of an object. So Atma is not an object of experience. Therefore, Sakshat Karanam means the teacher just helps you have a different perspective of what you are. The ever experienced Atma is brought to your notice. What you are essentially is shown by negating what you are not. Okay? Therefore, the teacher does not give you a new, fresh, brand new experience. No. Teacher should not, cannot give a new experience. Teacher only gives you perspective change. Okay? He just takes it, draws your attention, and places in what you are. This is called Sakshat Karanam. When the teacher tells you, come on, you are, that means you are consciousness existence. Okay. Now, Sakshat Tattvamasiti Acharyaha Bodhayati. In the place of relative pronoun, I am putting nouns so that you get a complete sentence. Acharyaha Bodhayati. And whom does the teacher teach here? Ashritan. The teacher teaches the Ashritan. Ashritaha means those who have surrendered. Surrendered to what? Those who have surrendered to Shruti as the Pramanam. Those who have Shraddha in the teaching of the Shruti. Those who have surrendered to the Pramanam naturally will surrender to the teacher. Surrendering to the teacher is not to the form of the teacher. Surrendering oneself to the teacher is surrendering to the Veda Mata, who becomes alive through the words of, through the voice of the teacher. Teacher represents the Shastra Pramanam. Those who surrender to the Vedic teaching, thereby those who surrender to, thus become committed to the pursuit of moksha as the ultimate end. Thereby those who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Thereby who accept Shastram as the Pramanam. Thereby who live a life enjoyed by the Shastram. And those who surrender themselves to Shastram. I have no other choice to discover my moksha. To free myself from bondage, the so-called seemingly real bondage. There's no way I can free myself from the seemingly real bondage other than discovering my Swarupam, being free from bondage. Such people said to be what? Surrendering to the Shastram. Okay. Teacher teaches those who surrender to the Shastram. ஆசிரித்தான் ஆச்சாரியா சாட்சாத் தத் பிரம்ம த்வம் அசி இதி வேத வச்சசா ஆசிரித்தான் ஆச்சாரியா சாட்சாத் போதயதி. ஓகே, ஒன்ஸ் தி ஆஃப்டர் தி போதனம், ஆஃப்டர் தி டீச்சிங், வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் வென் தி ஸ்டூடெண்ட் இஸ் ஏபிள் டு கிளைம் தி ஃபேக்ட், கிளைம் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் ஆஸ் consciousness existence, what happens after claiming sakshat karanat? Sakshat karanat means because of the claiming of consciousness existence as the self, sakshat karanat bhavet na bhavet, bhavena, if you break it, bhavet na means na bhavati, na bhavet means na bhavishyati. Bhavet is a ling verb, we should take it as future tense verb. Na bhavishyati or na bhavati, does not happen. What does not happen? Punaravrittihi, punaha again, avrittihi repeat, repetition. Punaravrittihi means you can say returning, punaravrittihi, repeatedly returning is called punaravrittihi. Okay, punaravrittihi na bhavishyati, na bhavati, na bhavet, repeatedly returning will not happen after having claimed consciousness existence as the self, in terms of I, the consciousness, am existence of the universe. Okay, repeated returning into what? Into bhava ambho nidhau. Ambas means water, ambho nidhi means ocean, ambho nidhi means ocean, ambho nidhau, into the ocean of what? Not water, ocean of bhavaha. Bhavaha means samsaraha. Samsaraha means what? Life of becoming, life of becoming or life of transmigration. Repeated returning into the life of transmigration will not happen after having claimed consciousness existence as the self, the Atma, as the content of I. Okay, so ambonidav, bhava ambonidav punaravritti na bhavet, which means what is ambonidhi? Bhava ambonidhi, what is this ocean of samsara? Why samsara is likened to an ocean? Because it is never ending. Samsaraha, we have to really understand there is samsaraha. What is samsaraha? The entire world is now manifest. This manifest world, which is available for experience, definitely will become unmanifest one day, will become unmanifest, and which will not be available for experience and enjoyment one day. The world being not available for experience and enjoyment is said to be the world being unmanifest. The world being available for experience and enjoyment is said to be the world being manifest. The manifest world one day will definitely will become unmanifest. Unmanifest world again will become manifest. Manifest will become unmanifest. Unmanifest will become manifest. Oh, when will it stop? It will never stop. Never stop means what? You should never ask a question, which is the first birth, which is the last death. Never ask a question. It will be continuously there. That is why in Vedanta, why science contradicts See, Vedanta does not contradict science, but science contradicts Vedanta. Okay, which means Vedanta is not scientific, but does not contradict science. Why? Even there's so many other different systems of philosophy, like Sankhya, Yoga, all of them, all those different system philosophers, including the modern scientists, have very strong view that life has a beginning, life will come to an end. This thinking of life having a beginning and an end is said to be linear thinking. Linear thinking. It means a straight line which has a beginning and an end. Whereas Vedanta does not accept it. Vedanta says that the linear thinking will not work here. Because the fact is, life is a beginningless, endless cycle, which means Vedanta accepts the cyclic process, not the linear thinking. The thinking of cyclic process, which means this is never ending. It is not caused by somebody. It can be prevented by somebody. It is a natural process. It's a very, very unchangeable, absolutely unchangeable natural phenomenon. It's a natural process. The world will be manifest for some time. The manifest world will become unmanifest again. Unmanifest world again become manifest. There's no way of absolutely stopping this process. Okay. Yesterday I also mentioned in my class is what is this teaching comes here. I have to explain here Ambo Nidhi, which means Shastram says, if it is unchangeable natural phenomenon, natural process, that this process of world becoming manifest from being unmanifest and again becoming manifest from being unmanifest, if it is unchangeable process, then how can I free myself from this bondage of samsara? Shastram says that is possible. Definitely by shifting the I sense from anatma to atma, by having a different perspective of what you are. Just sorting out the confusion you have. Okay. Just by understanding what is real, what is as though real. There's no unreal thing at all. Just understanding what is real, what is not real, what is as though real. This perspective change will definitely put an end to the suffering. Therefore, there's a freedom from bondage of samsara is definitely possible. But we cannot, which means the process of undergoing the suffering can be definitely prevented by changing the perspective. But the process of samsara cannot be changed, cannot be prevented. That is natural. Therefore, and this, that's what it said here, Sakshat Karanat. Okay, Sakshat Karanat Punaravrittihi Bhava Ambonidau Punaravrittihi Na Bhavet Na Bhavishyati. One can take moksha as one's own sarupam. One can claim moksha also, freedom, happiness, fullness as the swarupam of consciousness existence, as one's own self, which one need not attain. And the claiming the freedom in terms of claiming the consciousness existence as one's own self is sakshat karanam. Then that is what is freedom. Okay, claiming one swarupam being consciousness existence, thereby claiming the freedom as one's own self is freedom from samsara. Okay, and the teacher who alone is in the form of Dakshinamurti, who alone is Paramatma, whose manifestation alone is in the form of existence of every object, that way who alone shines in the form of existence of every object, who alone teaches these students who have surrendered to him through the Vedic statement, the unfoldment of the Vedic statement, Tattvamasi, and by discovery, by claiming which consciousness existence as one's own self, that one becomes free from bondage of samsara, that teacher is none other than Dakshinamurtihi. Unto him, my salutations. Have you made it clear or not? Okay. Yasya eva spuranam sada sat atmakam asat kalpartagam bhasate yaha ashitan vedavachasa tattvam asi iti tattvam asi iti vedavachasa sakshat bodhayati yasya sakshatkaranat yat sakshatkaranat bhavambhonido punaravrittihi na bhavet tasmai shri gurumurtaye dakshinamurtaye namaha. Is it clear? So with this, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam unfoldment is over in its three verses. So first verse, Tvampada Lakshyartha. First verse, Prasansi Tvampada Lakshyartha. Second verse, Prasansi Tattvada Lakshyartha, being existence. The third verse reveals the existence and consciousness being one and the same. Okay, now even though the main teaching of Dakshinamurti Stotram is over, in the fourth verse onwards, Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to re-emphasize, reassert this teaching which has been given in the first three verses for assimilation or for enhanced clarity, or enhancing one's clarity. So in the fourth verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents a comparison for what? For establishing that Atma, the content of I being ever evident. Three important things. Atma is ever evident. Atma is self-evident. Important lesson. First sentence. Atma is self-evident. Atma is ever evident. Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes the fact of the all-pervasive reality, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, which alone is there as the innermost self of every being, thereby implied by the term Atma, is ever evident. Ever evident means the very expression ever evident tells what? You need not work for experience. I have to sit and do meditation. I have to do that. I have to do this to experience Atma. Oh my God, Shastram says Atma is ever evident. Why do you want to experience on one fine day? It's ever evident. Atma is ever evident. Self-evident. Two important words. Ever evident, self-evident means you do not require an evidence for the Atma. Why you do not require an evidence for the Atma? Atma is self-evident. You need not wait for the self-experience also, because Atma is ever evident, which means self-knowledge is not an experience where the flash of experience, I sit and meditate under a tree or in a given place, in a given time, and suddenly flashes. Atmajnanam flashes. No, it is not flashy experience. Why? That is why Shankara Bhagavad Pada wants to say, don't wait for experience of the Atma, because Atma is ever evident, means ever experienced, always experienced. Only thing is, you need to focus, your attention need to be drawn to what is that Atma which is ever experienced, that is yourself. So he makes effort here, okay? So draw your attention from anatma to atma to make you see how atma need not be experienced. Atma is ever experienced, ever evident, and self-evident. The entire objective universe, including one's body, minds, and complex, is evident to the Atma, evident to you, the Atma. Whereas you are self-evident. You are the evidence for the whole world. And you are evidence for yourself. Okay, to make it very clear, he says, first of all, let me tell you, the entire universe is likened to a dark room. Imagine, not like in here, let me tell you here. If there is a dark room, okay, dark room means a room which has no windows, no entry, completely on all sides covered. That is stone building, imagine. Completely a stone building without any windows, only one entrance is there. Such a building is what? Dark room. And inside that dark room, there are so many things in the all, every object is dark object. Everything remains covered in darkness. And there's no way of that room or the objects obtaining within that room coming to light. Completely dark. For which we make an, there's upayaha, there's a upaya mentioned. There's a bright sunlight, very blazing sunlight, illumines everything. The sunlight cannot penetrate into that room in any way because a stone, which means somehow the objects inside the room must be illumined. What is the way? So, this we discussed much earlier. If we place a mirror in front of the dark room, we place a mirror in front of the room, then the sunlight reflected in the mirror can illumine the dark room. Get the point? The mirror must be placed in such a way that sunlight is reflected by the mirror, and the sunlight reflected in the mirror can, reflected light can illumine the dark room. So when you place a mirror, the sunlight illumines the dark room. What happens is no more dark room. The whole room becomes bright, shining. The whole room shines. Bhasate. Every object in the room becomes bright. Dark object becomes bright object. It is no more covered in darkness. Every object is illumined. Every object shines. Now, what is that which really illumines the dark room? It is the reflected light. It is the mirror. Okay? With the reflection of mirror and the sunlight reflected in the mirror together contribute for the illumination of the dark room and all the objects. But mirror itself, if there's no sun, mirror itself would have become one of the opaque things. Without the sun, mirror itself would have become one of the opaque things, would have remained in darkness. But now, this mirror, because of the sunlight, not only mirror shines, mirror is capable of reflecting the light, thereby mirror is capable of converting the dark room into an illumined room. Therefore, who is the illuminator? We have to say sun, even though sun is the original illuminator. Without the mirror, sun cannot become the illuminator. Without sun, mirror cannot become the illuminator. But still we have to say the illuminator of the dark room and all the objects is none other than sun. But sun illumines through the mirror. If the illuminator is sun only, sun is the illuminator who illumines the dark room and the objects through the mirror. Similarly, here we have to understand Atma is likened to the mirror. Sorry, the Atma, like the sun, the mirror is like the mind. Okay, mind is like the mirror. Atma is like the sun. The dark room full of dark objects is the entire world. Entire world. Okay, therefore, the entire world of objects, we say all five-fold objects, the world does not have a sixth object. There are only five objects, five-fold objects. Seen, heard, smelt, tasted, okay, felt. Five-fold objects. Therefore, this vast universe obtaining in five-fold forms as five-fold objects. Therefore, we say Atma, the consciousness, does not illumine the dark, the inert, opaque, inert world of material objects directly. Atma manifests in the mind, through the mind, through the sense organs, illumines the external world. Okay, by its very presence, by its mere nature, not by doing any action, by its mere presence. For which, here Upanishad presence says here, not Upanishad, here this verse Shankara Bhagavatpada says, the whole body is like a pot. Imagine a dark room. Inside the dark room, there is a pot. The dark room is full of many. It is presented differently here. Make a note. I explained to you how the world is dependent on consciousness to become known, to shine, to have a status of being existent. And you are the pure consciousness, depending upon which alone the entire objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex, shines. Depending upon you, your consciousness. The world, when you say objective universe, we should generously include our body, mind, sense complex. So, objective universe enjoys the status of being existent, being illumined by the light of consciousness. So here is a pot in a dark room, and the pot has five holes, five apertures. And within that pot, there is a big lamp, and the lamp has light. From that light of the lamp within the pot, beams of light emerge out through the holes. Okay, five different beams of light emerge out through the five holes of the pot. you all have beautiful garden lights, our IKEA cells, such lamps, such you know, holy what is it? Holy lamp container. Holy means what? A container of holes within which you can put. Yeah, I saw Mita's house before sometime. Okay, they're small, but you can say big also. So the holy, there are something, but I'm talking about the pot, clay pot, big pot placed in the dark room and which has five holes, five apertures, and within that pot, there is a lamp in the light. And the beams of light emerging out through the holes illumine the objects. How? Whichever object, listen to me, whichever object falls within the range of the beam of light emerging out through the hole, that object becomes illumined. That object alone becomes illumined. And that object shines. That object enjoys the status of being existent. Like that, here also, our physical body is like a pot. And within this body, mind, sense complex, within this physical body, mind, sense complex, there is big lamp. Big lamp, which is like a mind. And there's a flame of consciousness. That lamp of mind is a flame of consciousness. And from that flame of consciousness, what happens? Through five apertures or five sense organs. Okay, there's a one beam of consciousness emerging out through the whole of seeing power. One beam of consciousness emerging out as though emerging out through the aperture of hearing power. One beam of consciousness emerging out through the aperture of power of smelling. One beam of consciousness emerging out through the whole aperture of the power of taste, and one beam of consciousness emerging out through the power of sense of touch. And here, the object which does not fall within the beam of consciousness does not become illumined, which means sound cannot fall within the range of the beam of consciousness emerging out through the seeing power. So this object called sound, which falls within the range of beam of consciousness emerging out through the hearing power, becomes illumined. The form, for all the forms and colors which reflect light, which fall within the range of the beam of consciousness emerging out through the seeing power, becomes illumined. So all the different tastes, objects in the form of taste, which fall within the range of the beam of consciousness emerging out through the taste, power of taste. So also, all this, okay, so the touch, etc. The respective object falling within the range of the beam of consciousness becomes illumined. This is how the entire, however vast this universe is, however inexplicably vast it is, this universe of fivefold objects is dependent on the five lights of sense organs. The sensor, every sense organ is a light, illumining is corresponding object, and the five sense powers are capable of functioning as powers because of the consciousness. Manifestation of consciousness, the beam of light of consciousness, manifest in the lamp of mind. Emerging through sense organs, emerging out through sense organs. Therefore, here, this is how the world becomes illumined. Therefore, world is evident because the sense powers are the evidence. The sense powers have the status of being the evidence because they are evident. Sense powers are evident because what enables them to become evident is evident because of the conscious mind. And the conscious mind is evident because of the presence of consciousness. Consciousness is evident because of what?
Itself.
Great. Okay. Which means self-evident. So, okay. Consciousness is self-evident. Which means to know you are. Do you need to make any effort? To know you are. What effort do you need to make? No effort is required. To know you are, what evidence proof you want? Let me wear my specs and check whether I am here or not. No, you don't require any effort. To know your existence, you do not require any evidence. You are the evidence. That's why Atma is ever self-evident. Not only self-evident, ever evident. Which are going to see in other verses also. But this verse, he wants to say Atma is self-evident. That is the main teaching. Self-evident. Then it's ever-evident. Which means it cannot be, need not be experienced in a given time. Okay? So beautiful, amazing. Shankara Bhagavatpada's clarity is so beautiful here. Okay. How he is unfolding this vision, what has been given here, we will continue in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.